Last week we started a series on the names of God. And the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6. Last week we talked about that he is wonderful. And Christ was wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful in his life. He was wonderful in his death. He will be wonderful in his second coming and in the kingdom that he will set up here on earth and then later in the New Jerusalem. But today we're going to go to the second name, the name of Counselor. And we're looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But before we go into our message this morning, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask that you just be with us today. And Lord, that we help us, Lord, to have wisdom. Lord, I pray that the reading of your word, Lord, and the preaching of it, Lord, will change our lives, that your Holy Spirit will have full reign. That, Father, that it would make us different, Lord. We ask you by Satan on our behalf. We ask that you just give us attention. And, Father, that you show us the things that we need to change in our lives, that we'll leave here different than what we came in. Lord, I pray that you be with the many that are gone today, Lord, for sickness. Lord, I just pray that you restore them to health. Lord, but most of all, Lord, help us to love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us to hear your message today as Counselor. Help us, Lord, to apply our hearts and incline our heart to wisdom that we will follow you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we went through Isaiah 9, verse 6. We will do it again. We will continue to do it until we get through all these names. But the prophecy of Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And I will acknowledge the fact that some translations will put the first two together, and that his name will be Wonderful Counselor. But in what we preach is that it's separate, okay? And so we looked at Wonderful last week. We will look at Counselor this week. You know, Isaiah gave an early birth announcement of the birth of Jesus. You know, in reality, most birth announcements happen when? After the birth. After the names have been chosen. And, you know, it's a great, great thing. We have Charlotte here this morning. And when Charlotte was born, there was an announcement. She's born, she's here. And everybody's excited about that. We're all excited when God blesses a couple with a new life. But you typically have to pick a name and you put it on the announcement and it happens after the fact. What we have here is 700 years in the future. And Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born. Unto us a child, a son is given." He is talking about the birth before it even happens. And we need to understand something, that when Christ gives us a prophecy or the Bible shows a prophecy, it's going to come true because God's words have to come true. That's the first part of wisdom, is to understand that there is absolute truth and that that absolute truth comes from God. But in the case here, Isaiah just doesn't tell about the child being born. He talks about the names that he will have. And Wonderful, and Counselor, and the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. It also talks about the things that he will do. You know, we all have great hopes and aspirations for our children. And we want them to go in a certain way, but that's in the future. We don't know what the future holds. But here we know. Here we know what Christ is going to do. Here we know about what his names are. His names basically describe him, but they describe the personality of him. So his name shall be called Counselor. And this morning I want to share several things about he as Counselor and what that means to us. The first thing is as Counselor, he became available. The name counselor here talks about giving advice, giving wisdom, giving knowledge, giving the ability and giving the insight necessary to handle hard questions, to handle hard things, to basically live your life. So this name counselor, when you see that, it's about wisdom. You know, you can look at it from a legal perspective too. In a legal perspective, another name for lawyer is a what? A counselor. When you go and you try to plan an estate, you go and you find someone that knows how to do that. And they are counselors because they have the knowledge and they can apply that knowledge to your situation. But as we looked at in the kids portion, that all wisdom comes from who? From God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." You know, the issue is sometimes we hear people speak, but we don't understand what they're saying. And I have a feeling that that's a lot of problems that we have today. We hear God speak, but we really don't take in the meaning. We really don't take in the what he really wants us to do. It's not about facts. It's about changing your life. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. In Psalm chapter 32, verse 8, he says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." If you want to go God's way, you need to listen to God. If you want to listen to God, you need to listen to his word. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Those things are wisdom, and that embodies Christ's name as counselor. He says, "I will guide thee with mine eye." You know, there's a lot of people today that just kind of go through life with their eyes closed. And they just hope it'll happen. It'll happen the right way. No, God sees what we're going through. And he says, "I want to give you the wisdom necessary to cope with your life, to get you through the problems, to get you through the success, to deal with success." The word name counselor speaks of his wisdom, but the point is that wisdom must be obtained. It's not something that you can take a pill or drink a green drink and expect to be wise. It's something that must be obtained, and we need to understand when wisdom's available, we need to accept it, and we need to look for it. And I tell you what, everything that we go through in our life is an issue of faith, but I would also say that everything that's in our life is also an issue of wisdom. Whether or not we want to do it the right way or we go about it the wrong way. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." You know, a couple of Sunday nights ago, we talked about God providing after they crossed the Red Sea out into the desert and they ran out of water. And they found water, but it was bitter. And they said, "Well, what are we going to do?" And God gave Moses wisdom to use the trees that were already there and already available to purify the water so it was drinkable. So the issue is that we have these situations where we come and we say, "I don't understand what to do." Call out to God. Wisdom's the principal thing. Everything that says, "And with all thy getting, get understanding." Knowledge without understanding is just a bunch of facts. Wisdom without being applied doesn't do you any good. Wisdom's got to be attained when it's available. Every situation we go through in our life is an opportunity to show wisdom. But we also need to understand that wisdom must be attained and it's applied and applied to our life. In Psalm chapter 119, verse 24, and we went through this chapter verse by verse on Wednesday night, it said, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselor. You know, when we look at the Word of God, we look at God's wisdom, we ought to delight in it. We ought to be happy for it. We ought to be happy that God of the universe will give us this wisdom. And then we need to make it part of our life. It says, it will be my counsel. Later on in that chapter, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the issue is wisdom's not wisdom unless you start using it. Wisdom's not wisdom unless you get it. So we need to understand that wisdom must be obtained, and there's a lot of people out there today that are not wise because they haven't done this. And they don't understand why things happen like that. We need to understand in this passage that Jesus became available. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. You know, God's wisdom was not some ethereal thing that you see out there. God's wisdom was manifested in Christ. It was manifested in all the things that he did. He came to the manger. And the issue is that in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, the point is that God's word comes true exactly like it says it's going to. And that is wisdom. Jesus became available. He came to the manger. His birth was announced to the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, verse 12, and it says, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We talked about what Bethlehem represented last week, about that's where the Passover lambs were made. And swaddling, you swaddle lambs to get them ready to grow. Wise men came to worship him. You know, the shepherds had to be told, but the wise men were looking, and they were looking for the star. They came to Jerusalem because that was a logical place to go. The star gave them a general direction, and during their search, their wise search for God, they were telling people that, where is he? Where is he? You need to be searching for him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and when they were coming to the house, you know, we have a manger scene up here. The wise men were not at the manger. Christ had been born for several months, and he was now a young child and not an infant anymore. It says, but when they come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. See, wisdom must be obtained when it's available. Wisdom must be applied to your life when you find it. Jesus became available. Jesus is always available during his ministry. It was the message of heaven, you know, to announce the birth. There was the host of angels in heaven saying, in Luke 2:14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, which only God can give. Goodwill toward men. There's a lot of people that have a wrong idea about God. God's got our best interest in heart. God's got our best plan in his mind. But the issue is he gives us the capability for wisdom to follow it. The fear of the Lord, or the respect of God, is the beginning of wisdom. He says, get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding. It's the principal thing. Therefore, get it. It's the message of heaven. It's a message of glory to God. It's a message of peace to mankind. It's a message of goodwill to all who will receive it. It was the message of him. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, and David talked on this a couple Sunday mornings ago, he said in Sunday school, he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's a message to be heeded. It's a message to heed. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and is all. Christ's wisdom and Christ's peace and Christ's goodwill is available to children and to adults. It's available to the rich and the poor. It's available to sinners like you and me. So as counselor, he became available. As counselor, he came with answers. You know, the world is searching for truth. On the last day of Christ's life, he's standing before Pilate. And Pilate asks him, he says, are you a king then? And Christ answers, he says, for this cause I was born. And he says, everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And then Pilate asks this question, what is truth? Pilate, the governor, was not very wise. The issue is just because of your position, it doesn't mean that you're wise. Wisdom was available, standing right in front of him. And so Christ comes as counselor with answers. He answered the doctors in the temple. I like Luke chapter 2 because it's kind of like a fast forward of all Christ's life. It talks about his birth, talks about all the circumstances, talks about the announcement, talks about his early life, and then it talks about him coming to the temple when he's a young boy. And he's asking and answering questions. In Luke chapter 2, verses 46 through 47, it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. Remember, they had come from Nazareth down to Jerusalem to worship, and then they leave. Mary and Joseph leave, and they go a day's journey, and where's Jesus? Well, he's in the temple. Today, where is Jesus in your life? He should be in your heart. You still searching for him? If you're searching for him, you're wise, but the issue is he's here and he's available now. And to be wise means to accept him. It says, it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple sitting in the midst of the doctors. Not medical doctors, but learned people, the ones who were the experts in the Old Testament, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were what? Astonished as his understanding and answers, because wisdom was right in front of them and they couldn't see it. How could a young boy say these things? He could, as the Son of God. See, as counselor, he came with answers. He came to the manger. His birth was announced. But now he has answers. He has answers to all your technical questions about God. He had answers to Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Now, Nicodemus was called a master. He was called a scribe. He was one of these doctors of the law. And Christ says, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus, in his earthly thinking, he says, how can that happen again? And in verse 9 of chapter 3 of John, he says, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? See, if he had read the Bible and understood it and had wisdom about it, he would understand that Jesus, the Messiah, is standing right in front of him. Wisdom must be applied to our life. So he came with answers. He came with answers to the technical questions of the Old Testament. He came with answers to the Nicodemus who was searching for that. He answered his critics. In John chapter 2, the first accounts of John, of Jesus doing things, it talks briefly about the marriage supper at Cana. And then it talks about him going to the temple, taking a small scourge of cords and driving out the money changers. And people never seen that before. And so they come in Luke chapter 2, John chapter 2, verses 18 through 22, and it says, they said, why? Who gives you the right to do this? And then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou thus, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now here's a great case study in wisdom. Okay? It's obvious that he cannot be talking about the temple that they're in, the building that they're in. Talking about something else. And he says, 3 days. 3 days should have reminded them of Jonah. 3 days should have reminded them of some of the Psalms and everything else. But it didn't. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Now we have hindsight. We see what this is. And John is given an explanation of this. But those people that were there right there, wisdom was right available to them. But they didn't want to apply it to their life. And then later on, 3 years later, it says, but when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. See, the issue of wisdom is that it's an answer to the critics. It's an answer to the technical questions of the law. It's an answer to the things that we don't understand. God's wisdom is an answer to all the things that are applied against him. And for us, if we do what? If we do what verse 20 says, the disciples remembered. Last Wednesday night, we went through John chapter 15, the end, as Jesus is walking to Gethsemane. And he says, you need to remember these things because these things are going to happen to you. He gave answers to his critics. He gave answers about eternity, the promise of heaven. After he washes their feet and they have the Last Supper, he talks about, I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. He's trying to give consolation to the disciples because their hearts are troubled. See, wisdom will not only answer the technical questions. Wisdom will not only give you understanding. Wisdom will not also give you the thing that will help you respond to critics. But wisdom will basically show you the way. It'll show you the way. And in John chapter 14, verses 5 through 6, it says, Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, And how can we know the way? That's a question that we all ask. How can these things be? That's what Nicodemus said. The Jews said, why are you doing these things? Folks, every question that we have in our life is an issue that we need wisdom. And why aren't we asking God those things? Because He gives wisdom. And Jesus said unto him, because Jesus is wisdom, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, there's a song that says, Jesus is still the answer. He's the answer for your soul. So he answers about eternity and the promise of heaven, but he also talks about the peril of hell. One of the things about wisdom is that you have to accept it and apply it, which means you have to reverence it. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, he says this. He says, fear not them which kill the body. Don't fear what man can do unto you. Fear what God has in front of you. He says, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, God, which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. That's wisdom. Wisdom is knowing that you need something and going out. Wisdom is avoiding bad things. Wisdom is getting right with God. So as counselor, he came with answers. As counselor, he came with assurance for hopeless sinners. He brings a message of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, and this was manifested or shown, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. No, love is not that gushy thing, oh, I love you. No, love is a change in your life. Wisdom changes your life. God changes your life. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the payment for our sins on the cross. John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wisdom is for everybody. It's for glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus brought hope to those who had no hope. He brought hope to the Samaritan woman who was in an immoral lifestyle, and it changed her. He brought hope to Zacchaeus when Zacchaeus ran and got up in a tree to see Jesus. He brought hope to all those who were coming to him that were maimed and blind and demon-possessed, and he cured them. He brought hope to the dying thief on the cross, when there was no way out, there was no way off the cross for that one thief. In Luke 23, verses 42 and 43, it says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's wisdom. Some people just live in a hopeless state, not knowing that there's answers for that hopeless state. Christ came with answers. Christ is the answer. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. No problem was too difficult for him to solve. Over and over, people say, we never heard anyone spoke like this. He himself said, and we went through this Wednesday night, he says, no other man could do the works that I've done. It's wisdom to apply what you see to your life. It's wisdom to have a change of heart and not to have pride that you won't change. He still reaches out to those who have no hope. And Jeremiah 32, verse 27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? But man, these things are not possible. With God, all things are possible. He offers hope to you and me this morning. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. The issue is with wisdom, we have to accept it. We have to apply it. We have to use it. That ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, we celebrate more than a miracle birth during this time. The virgin-born Savior has the answers that we need today. He does. Answers that are relevant for every need of every age. We need to bring our burdens to Him and His problems to Him and get His wisdom to go through this. The most important thing is to know Him as your Savior. If you died today, would you go to heaven? If you say, I'm still working on that, you're not going. You must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Christ is not in the manger anymore. He came to fulfill God's plan. He lived a perfect life. God's not on the cross anymore. He said it was finished. God's not in the grave anymore because He has the power over sin and death and the power to forgive us our sins and give us eternal life. What's He to you? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, just to hear Your word. Father, we just ask that, Lord, just change our lives, Lord, and that You just make us, Lord, like You. Father, if someone here does not know You as Savior, I pray that today they would say the sinner's prayer, that they know that You died on the cross for their sins and asked for forgiveness of their sins, believe that You rose from the dead and You sit in heaven, that You give eternal life. Lord, I pray that You just help them, Lord, to come to saving knowledge of You. Father, for us, help us to live as wise and not foolishly. Help us, Lord, to cry out to You, Lord, as Solomon did, and then You gave wisdom. Father, help us today. We are a needy people. We know that You have all the answers, and help us to accept that. We ask these things in Jesus' name.